That's the piano of David Mamet. The CD is called London House Blues. David, of course, a lifelong Chicagoan, as was his older brother, David Mamet, who's written some notable plays and movies. One of my favorite people in the world is in here, Catherine O'Connell, not the singer. We always have to do that, don't we, Catherine? We have to go.
And I always say, she got CatherineO'Connell.com.
So I'm
CatherineO'Connell.net. But net. I know her. She's wonderful.
Yeah, I know you guys know each other. But, you know, one of the things is, well, you know, a nice Catholic girl from Northbrook grows up to work in bars and gets a unbelievably, and tell me I'm wrong, because I've interviewed before and I trust my memory and will know that I have Alzheimer's when I can't remember anything. But you went to University of Colorado to study journalism, right?
I went to the University of Colorado to get a degree. I decided to go to pick journalism because I loved to write.
You never had the notion of getting into newspapers, did you?
No, it's the writing's too restricted for me. Do you remember that pyramid form?
Oh, yeah.
The most important fact.
Oh, yeah.
And it's essential, although we've lost it completely now. But we were taught just to report the facts, the most important fact first, and then it was a pyramid. And then you could expound.
For someone who has become such a talented novelist, it did take you a while. I mean, I think as a child and a young person, you have a pretty vivid kind of Irish imagination, right? But it took you a while to come to writing, because some of your first jobs were in the legendary days of Division Street and Rush Street saloons. You kind of were doing that, I think. Tell me I'm wrong, Catherine O'Connell.
Well,
you were doing that to sort of gain the kind of experiences you wanted to gain in order to write about them, yes?
Yes. I've always been a writer. When I was a child, I wrote short stories, and they'd read them in the class, and Northwestern had a gifted children's program, which I would have gone in, but I think my parents didn't want to pay the freight for that, really. But I love to write, and so when I finished college, I decided I would collect some experiences, and what happened was I traveled Europe, and I ski-bummed in Aspen for a couple of years.
Where did you learn to ski? When did you learn to ski?
My father used to take us up to Alpine Valley.
Oh.
It's kind of hard to go back now.
There are now thousands of people going, oh my God, I learned at Alpine Valley.
In Wilmot,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, in Wilmot, right.
When I was in high school, we used to drive up to Wilmot after class.
Wow.
At about, I don't know if I should say this, 100 miles an hour. I'm glad we're all still alive. And I believe the drinking age was 18.
And you were who? Yeah, there's no statute of limitations has long run out for your speeding underage drinking kind of thing. Did you go, I don't know this, where'd you go to high school? Did you go to a Catholic school out there?
No, I went to Glenbrook North.
Did you?
Went to St. Norbert's for grade school.
Oh, okay. So you come back here to sort of gather experiences. You're in Europe for a while. You're a ski bum, which is a nice thing to be. I don't ski, but I assume it's a very nice thing to be. And you come back here. How are you drawn? It's a stupid question, Rick. An attractive young person was drawn to Division Street and Rush Street because they were attractive young people, right?
Well, yes, but also I thought, I started waitressing and then was tending bar, later managed a bar, but I thought I'll work at night and write during the day.
The problem was
there
are 4 o'clock
bars. When you work till 4 a.m.
And there are other bars who will stay open later
than
4.
There were some after hours
things
going back then. We're talking about the 1980s right now.
So you abandon, I mean, you get up at noon or 1.
Or 2.
One, and go over to Oak Street Beach or whatever you do. And you realize it did not lend itself to writing novels.
It certainly does not lend itself to discipline to write novels.
Yeah, yeah. So did you do any kind of writing?
Oh, I would write sketches. And when you work in a bar, you hear and see a lot. And when you're sober in a bar,
exactly,
you see and hear a lot. So, and I've used a lot of that in my stories.
You were kind of banking these experiences for your... Did you realize it then? Or you would... You know, someone who has an interest in writing, I think, and has some ambition to write, when you would see something in your sober self going on around you that was a fascinating encounter or a weird encounter, you kind of put that in a little place in your head, didn't you? To say, maybe I'll use that one day.
Yes, and believe me, you see people act in different sorts of ways. And some of the things I've written, I will actually hear people say, no one would ever do that. And I say, I've seen it or I know them. And that's just seeing the human condition, learning the nature of human beings.
Well, the book that we're celebrating now, the paperback publication of Catherine's The Last Night Out, that if memory serves, I read it about a year ago when it first came out in paperback. It begins in the wake of a bachelorette party with the woman waking up in bed with a strange man, correct?
And you said you didn't think you have a good memory.
Well, no, this is how I test
I'm
myself.
Teasing.
This is how I test myself. I remember the book vividly.
So Maggie Trueheart wakes up the morning after her bachelorette party with a stranger in her bed. One of the other attendees at the bachelorette party is murdered that evening, and the stranger becomes a person of interest.
You would think.
So Maggie's in a bit of a pickle, so to speak. And I place it about 2 weeks before the wedding, so that gives me lots of time for lots of activity.
It got tremendous reviews. I liked it very, very much. One of the reasons I love your work is it is so Chicago-centric. I mean, I think you named... There was a bar still there, I think, called the Hang Up, which you called the Overhang.
The Overhang.
Right, just to protect the innocent,
yeah.
Kind of. Is it, when you're sitting down and writing, Catherine O'Connell, do you drift back in time or do the, oh, you must tap into a place, the place you put all those memories and all those good stories. Do you feel like you're tapping into something, a reservoir kind of?
I do. And when I sit down to write, I generally know where I want to start that morning or afternoon at a particular time. But I know it sounds, I don't even know the word I want to use. What a great writer. But I go places that I don't even, I read my material back and I think, where did that come from? And can I add a little disclaimer right
now? Sure.
I always want the listeners to know.
I never killed a woman at my bachelorette party.
But I speak so much differently from the way I write, so because I never know what's going to come out of my mouth. So.
Yeah, agreed. No, and that's fine. I think that's just fine. Your book, Well Read and Dead, what's that? Remind me what that's about.
Well, it was part of a high society mystery.
That's right. You had these high society mystery books.
But that one started, the first one was Well Bred and Dead.
Right.
And then I had a friend named David Grafton who wrote biographies of wealthy women. And he wrote something on the Cushing girls, who one of them was Babe Mortimer Paley.
Sure.
And he and I were supposed to meet with Sugar Rothbard at the time. We were going to give a presentation, so we were going to discuss our presentation. I'm waiting at the Mayfair Regent, and Sugar doesn't come. They send a pink slip. This is pre-cell phone.
Yeah.
And so David didn't show up, and so I went home, and I called his house, and a man answers the phone, and I says, David there?
That's
He says, who's calling? I said, this is Kathy O'Connell. And he said, well, Kathy, David's here, but he's dead.
Dead.
And I was, of course, taken aback. And I said, Dad. And he said, I'm sorry to be so abrupt. He said, we hadn't heard from him in 3 days. The police just let us in, and I'm staring at his body.
Wasn't there something? David was not who he...
David had stolen someone else's
identity. That's right.
And so his closer women friends and I were going through his belongings, and they found all these birth certificates. So, and he claimed to come from... the Kodak, the Eastman family.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
I just kind of took the whole thing and ran with it.
Ran with it.
And it became a really fun.
No one could blame you. We got to take a short commercial break. I will tell you more about The Last Night Out and also the recently published, recently meaning in the last few days, her latest book, which takes us out of Chicago and takes it to the other place Catherine O'Connell lives, which is Aspen, Colorado. We'll talk about those in 2 minutes. On Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, from 4:30 to 6 p.m., Catherine O'Connell will be signing the paperback version of her latest book, The Last Night Out, the book we were just talking about that begins with a woman waking up the night after her bachelorette party with a stranger in the bed and someone from the bachelorette party dying. It begins at 4:30. It is at Pippin's, a charming little place right next to Downtown Dogs on Rush Street, just north of Chicago Avenue. Very accessible, near the Water Tower. Now, Water Tower Place, near Water Tower Place, but it's near the real Water Tower. That is from 4:30 to 6. And on Friday night, she will be at the one and only Centuries and Sluice in Forest Park, run by Augie Alexi, who is one of the great independent booksellers of all time. Last Night Out, we've told you a little about. Are you going to be selling this book, too?
First Tracks?
First Tracks is the one set in Aspen.
So the Pippin's event is exclusively to The Last Night Out because it's the beer... Beer bar.
It's a bar book. It's a bar book.
And it's Rush Street in the 80s. I used to manage Pippin's Tavern.
I know.
So and it's a little reunion.
You used to run the party bus, too, didn't you? The infamous party bus.
That plays a role in The Last Night Out also.
Yes, it does.
The Last Night Out was the first thing I ever wrote.
I know.
And I found an agent for it, and he didn't sell it, and then he sold my next book, which was Skins.
Yeah.
Going back some time. So I just put The Last Night Out in a cupboard, and then went on to write Skins and Well Bred and Dead. And Well Read and Dead. And then one day I'm reading Girl on a Train, and then I read Gone Girl, and I said, I've got this book.
I've already done those books.
Yeah, same audience.
Basically, no question.
Not the same plot.
Not at all.
The psychological thriller, getting in the women's heads. Not necessarily protagonists that you adore, but you want to know what happens. And so I pulled my book out, and my husband and I had a business called The Party Bus, which was filled with bachelorette parties. So I got to incorporate some of that, but it all came together. And
your husband must be, I know that shortly after you got married is when you decided, you know, you had worked in bars, you'd managed Pippin's for a while, you worked for a wine liquor distributor for a while and were very successful with that. And you met your husband, he was once a partner with Lodge Management Group, which owns half the bars on the planet now, the great Lynn McKinney. Your husband must have been very supportive of you when you first started running, yes?
A little bit of a raised eyebrow.
So, you want a what? I thought you were a bartender.
Well, no, he knew I was a writer.
Yeah, I know.
But I had been working as a wine importer for a great importer, co-brand. They represent Tattinger Champagne, Louis Jadot wines. And I got quite an education there.
Sure.
Because when I can write with authority about wine, about sales. In fact, I've had about every job you could ever have.
Well, I also think that you have, and you bring it all to your books, you have a very solid foundation that doesn't smack of academic research. It smacks of life research, which I think is a huge bonus. The First Tracks, which is her next hardcover publication, begins, it's set in Aspen, much of it. It begins in a terrific manner with an avalanche that you describe. Have you ever been in an avalanche?
No, but I know of lots of people who have and survived, and I know
and
of lots of people who haven't didn't.
And survive. You must have debriefed them, because this is really, you know, I'm reading it. It just starts, I heard it before I saw it. And then you take into how the skis come off and that would make it easier to get out and stuff. It's scary, that beginning.
Well, you know, the power of an avalanche is so tremendous. And we had the biggest snow year we've had in a long time last year. So I've gone out on several hikes this summer. And the damage of the avalanche, the trees, and it goes down one slope and up the other side. But it's a beautiful sort of damage because it's natural. But you'll walk through an avalanche debris and then come out where it's all green and beautiful. And then farther along, there's another slide. This is not in the ski areas, I might add.
And then you find a dead body somewhere.
Because I write it into the book.
Do you still ski?
Oh, yes, I ski. Yeah.
What is, I was always intrigued with Aspen Words as a kind of writer's literary kind of society there, which you're a prominent part. What is that?
I'm a board member.
Are you? Mm-hmm.
Aspen Words was born out of just this small writers group that started about 30 years ago, Writers Under a Tree, and they called themselves the Aspen Writers Foundation. And then it was Reading Critique, and it grew, and they started bringing in authors in the winter to speak. And
that's where you met
that's
Frank,
where I met Frank McCourt.
Frank McCourt.
Right.
That's
but I've been
right.
with Jeffrey Eugenides and Colin
Local
McCann.
Boy.
Colin
wow.
McCann. Yes. And so very fortunate to meet so many authors. I'm going to say this name wrong, but
who do you, a few minutes we have left, who do you love to read? Who influenced you? Who now do you love to read? Can you, Catherine O'Connell, the accomplished novelist, who do you say, oh, I'm so glad so-and-so has another
new book
out?
Well, first I read all over.
Yeah.
All levels. And I say reading is like eating. Sometimes you want fast food and sometimes
right,
you
sure,
want gourmet.
Sure.
But right now I've been on a World War I and II kick.
Wow.
So Kate Atkinson.
Yeah.
She's amazing. Life After Life in a God in Ruins. They're amazing books. I read Birdsong, which is old by Sebastian Hawkes, though, and that's World War I, and that is the quintessential World War I book.
Your books are being translated into all sorts of languages now, haven't they?
Yes. I'm so excited. My publisher is from London, British. And so he went running to the Frankfurt Book Fair when he bought Last Night Out. He loved it so much. So he talked it up so much that we sold to the Germans,
that's
Italians,
great, Catherine.
French,
jeez.
Portuguese, Brazilians, that's Portuguese, and I left somebody else. The French.
Wow. Yeah. You're pleased with your career so far, right? I mean, of course, you would love to sell more books, but you are pleased, because the beginning, I haven't finished it yet, but the beginning of First Tracks is really stunning.
Well, that's going to be a series.
Is it?
Because my publisher asked me, can you do a mystery series nobody's doing? And so I thought about it. I always wanted to do a one-off of Aspen, but I thought, how about a female ski patroller as what you call an amateur or accidental sleuth?
Yeah, Greta Westerlund. Mm-hmm. That is her name. This is the first Greta Westerlund thriller. Catherine, it's great to see you. And again, if you want to meet Catherine, 4:30 to 6 at Pippin's, 806 North Rush, just north of Rush in Chicago. It's her old stomping grounds. She was a manager there for a couple of years, and it gave her a lot of the material
A
lot of fodder for her book, The Last Night Out. It's always great to see you, sweetie. And go to CatherineO'Connell.net. Not
Catherine
.com.
With a C.
With a C. It's always great to see you. See you Tuesday night and Friday night at Centuries and Sleuths in Forest Park.
Superb.
There you go. Thanks. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We got to take a commercial break. Then we'll get some news and carry on.